3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
91 FM, The Truth. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues each and every day on this broadcast. It is our desire to have you call in. Join the dialogue and the discussion each and every day. And lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, who are the Christian nationalists? Who are the Christian nationalists? You heard that term? You understand what they're saying? That's what we'll be talking about today. Are you a Christian nationalist? What does it mean to be a Christian nationalist? Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you recall when Barack Obama was in office and he said that many Americans want to cling to their guns and their Bibles. And, of course, he said this to demean Christians. Then we're told by Peter Strzok, the disgraced FBI agent, that he could go into Walmarts and smell the Trump followers. But it was Hillary Clinton that said brazenly, that all of the Trump supporters are just simply a basket full of deplorables. Ladies and gentlemen, these statements are all designed and aimed to attempt to disgrace, demean, and destroy those who want to support President Trump, and especially the Christians. We're seeing and hearing more and more today of the attempt by the left, I call them the loose likes, lost left, and the Marxist media to demean Christians and to try to shut Christians out of the political process because they are petrified that Donald Trump will be elected president, our 47th president. We're going to be talking about that today. Who are the Christian nationalists? What are the media saying? Why are they saying it? How does it identify? What are the threats in relationship to that? And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you as we face the issues on this broadcast each and every day, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Our consensus and our general opinions and our approach to reviewing issues each and every day, not based on some denominational dogma. It's not based on a political rhetoric. It's not based on some philosophical thought. We base it on the Word of God, the truth book. Jesus said as he's talking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, profound statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, there's the declaratory statement about the word of God. John 17, 17 says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. It is not to be bifurcated, abridged, amended, changed, modified in any fashion. It stands forever. It is the truth of the Lord. And as one person made the statement some time ago, truth matters. It does matter. And I believe it should matter to each and every one of us today. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And I find that to be very, very factual. You can get into a group, a crowd, a speak, whether it's about political issues, social economic issues, a matter of biblical truths, theological truths, and you'll find those that when you stand for truth, there'll be those that will diss you, disagree with you, and disregard you in every fashion possible. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it, Orwell said, and we're in that day and time. We're in that position, in that particular era, of where truth is not embraced, truth is not appreciated, truth is not looked at as being indelible. There's an attempt to bifurcate truth. It's the millennials of today, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, make this statement. They say each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth. A partial truth, a half-truth, is a whole lie. We need to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that we're being tested each and every day, especially as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, for standing on truth. There is a whole movement today to try to demean the Christian, try to demean the conservative, to try to, in some fashion, undermine our position. And yet there seems to be a mindset that the loose likes lost left, the socialist Marxist media, and the Communist Network News, and the Marxist Communist Democratic Party can insert their ideas, their belief system, their morals and ethics and values, but as Christians we're not supposed to. That's what they think. That's what they're pushing for, especially the closer we get to the election. There's a mindset that we need to shut Christians out, silence conservatives, prevent their voice system being heard. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. I challenge you. Try it. Seeking the truth, where do you go to find it? Certainly not on the Communist Network News. Certainly not on most of the network news, whether it's radio or television. Where do you go to find truth? The source book of truth is the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inert Word of God. And I think it's time we stand up, especially as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. I believe it's time we stand up and defend the truth. Take a stand for truth. You may not be the most popular person in town. You may not be the most sought-after person on your block. But I believe it's time we stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of the 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. It's a 165-foot flagpole. Flying atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory. 24/7, you'll find Old Glory flowing atop of that flagpole. Find that flag, the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, and verse 25, he says very succinctly, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand." We're witnessing today, perhaps as never before in the history of American life, the attempt by Satan to undermine and tear down and destroy our homes, our families, our nation, our governmental system by dividing us. But I don't know of a time in my lifetime, and I'm still under 100 years old, I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime, where there's a greater push to segment, segregate, and divide, and especially to remove Christians, Christian thought, and Christianity from the landscape of society, as we're seeing today. This is taking place at a rampant speed. Perhaps the most grievous words of condemnation, not what Barack Obama said, not what Hillary Clinton said, not what the defrocked FBI agent Peter Stroke said, but ladies and gentlemen, what's being said today. I believe the most grievous words of condemnation and castigation against Christians came recently from a political national investigative correspondent. Name is Heidi Presbalt. In her audacious, what I call audacious claim, listen, that anyone who believes our rights are derived from God is a Christian nationalist, end quote. And she goes on to demean Christianity and Christians. And the whole push, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll say this time and time again during the course of the day's broadcast, the whole push is to demean Christians, to prevent Christians and pastors and churches from standing in the pulpit or on the street corner for that matter and advocating for a candidate for president or any other legislative office based on morals, ethics, and values. I find it egregious today that there's a mindset that Christians ought not to speak. Well, listen very carefully. Perhaps you know the source of that. It was a number of years ago when Lyndon Baines Johnson was a senator. He put a rider on a transportation bill that would allow the IRS to enforce the regulation that says a pastor cannot talk about political issues from the pulpit. Ladies and gentlemen, there's never been a case tried on that basis. There's never been any fines, penalties, or churches closed on that basis. You know why? Because there's never been a case against the church to do so. You know why that's so? Because they knew that if it ever got into the court system, they would lose. When you walk into a church, when I stand in the pulpit, we have not shed our liberties, our freedoms, in the Bill of Rights. It is for all of us to stand and speak. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, there's an attempt today, and that attempt is increasing, to silence Christians, to prevent Christians from voting for Donald J. Trump. Now, each time Trump has run for office, 2016, they talked about Christian nationalism. 2020, Christian nationalism. Ladies and gentlemen, and again, when Trump is running for office, and he's running away with the race for the one that will be the candidate for the Republican Party, Donald Trump is far above all of the other candidates. They know that Joe Biden cannot win the election. They know that it's an impossibility for Joe Biden to garner the votes necessary to win the election. Now, I've already said before, we need to be very, very careful regardless of the number of votes Trump may get. He could still lose the race. That happened in 2020 because the election was stolen. Yep, you heard me say it. The election was stolen. And I believe there's been enough surface, if not nothing else, evidence to prove that. The courts never would allow any objectors to the election to get into the courthouse. Some 63, 64, 65 suits were filed by Trump and others in his orbit, but yet the courts would not allow the cases to be heard. So regardless of what you hear, when you hear the pundits on the left saying, well, the courts rejected any claims of a default in the election. No, they didn't. They closed the door and refused to hear the cases. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to set the stage and build a foundation that we're watching today, the buzz term, Christian nationalism, it's used in a derogatory fashion. In fact, they're now saying that the Christian nationalists are anti-democratic and will destroy our democracy. Hear me. Let me just read you a blurb from an article from the Family Research Council. It's one that I think deserves some attention in relationship to that subject. It is one that we have before us that I believe is beneficial. Let me just read you what this article says. A Politico National investigative reporter, Heidi Pressbilt, made the audacious claim that anyone who believes our rights are derived from God is a Christian nationalist. She said that, quote, the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists is that they believe, listen to this, they believe that their, speaking of the Christians, rights as Americans, as all human beings, do not come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God. Now, hear the claim. The claim by this reporter, which I believe opened her mouth and showed her ignorance, this reporter says that Christian nationalists believe that our rights come from God. And that our rights do not come from Congress. Our rights do not come from any earthly authority. Our rights do not come from the Supreme Court. Now, is she right or wrong? This article goes on. Now you have an extremist element. This is the statement. Now you have an extremist element of conservative Christians who say that this applies specifically to issues including abortion, gay rights, and it's going much further than that. At no point in her alarmist diatribe did this reporter acknowledge the fact that our American Republic was founded upon the ideas of natural law and God-given rights, nor did she acknowledge the plain text of the Declaration of Independence, America's founding documents. Ladies and gentlemen, hear a portion of our Declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians and conservatives, this writer says, know that these words from the Declaration of Independence by heart, when they were penned by Thomas Jefferson, they establish a nation predicated on the laws of nature and of nature's God. The left has been in control, this writer says, of our educational institutions for so long that these basic principles are treated as foreign by the very people who ought to know better. Further, the writer says, the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas once remarked that the left was trying to repudiate and remove the whole concept of natural law, replacing it totally with positive law, which is man-made law. This reporter manifestly prejudicial view against Christian construct is a malicious smear, an attempt to spread lies about Christians and Christianity, and to portray them as a distinct and, in her words, extremist threat to our country. She's trying to demonize Christians and spread fear through propaganda. This writer says, in conclusion, its founding philosophy and even the Declaration of Independence that she could believe these principles were fringe and extremist threat to our country is absolutely shameful. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a subject. Who are the Christian nationalists? Are you a Christian nationalist? What does Christian nationalism mean? How do you identify? It's if you're a Christian and you stand for God, country, and the flag. I'm a God and country person. I stand for the Word of God. I stand for the world that God created. I stand for the walk that Christians ought to have in this world as salt and light. And yet I'm looking at a headline, some Georgia pastors push back against the spread of Christian nationalism. This article reads, the Reverend Will Dyer sees it, as he sees it, it's, if pastors aren't speaking out against Christian nationalism, then they're making a huge mistake. Dyer, the senior pastor of the First Baptist Church of Augusta, Georgia, has addressed the ideology in his sermons and in private conversations with members, cautioning against the philosophy that some call the blending of religion and government. Goes on to say he's lost some members in his church as a result of his stand against Christian nationalism. Ladies and gentlemen, how do you stand? Do you believe that as Christians we ought to be Christian nationalists? Do you believe that Christian nationalism is a slur against Christians? Or do you believe that it is the proper term? What do you think about that? How do you stand on it? Do you believe that we need to take a stand in relationship to God and country? Do you believe that we need to look at it through the eyes of Scripture and believe that somehow, some way, the Scripture is correct? I do. The Scripture says in Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear through, the people mourn. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're in a state of mourning today. The Scripture tells us in Psalms 146, I believe it is about verse 3, we ought not to put our trust in princes or men that can do no help. We need to place our faith and trust and confidence in the Creator God of this universe. Simply put, this person that makes that statement, ladies and gentlemen, let me read it again. Anyone who believes our rights are derived from God is a Christian nationalist, so this reporter says. Simply put, this person condemns Christians for placing their faith and trust and confidence in God. Our rights are given to us by God. Our rights are codified in the Declaration of Independence, further in our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, let me read that again. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by certain their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I cling to that, but I first of all cling to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's time as Christians, as pastors, as conservatives, that we need to take a stand. Ladies and gentlemen, our Bill of Rights are not granted to us by any legislative body. Our Bill of Rights are not given to us by Congress. Our Bill of Rights are not afforded to us by any president. We have our God-given rights, and every Christian, every patriot, every conservative should stand for truth, defend our faith that the Scripture says is once delivered to the saints. I believe that it's time we do that. I believe it's time we recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place and the problems with it. I'm looking at an article. I'll just read the headlines and a couple of words from it, then we'll take our callers. This article says, pro-Trump pastors rebuked for overt embrace of white Christian nationalism. Now, it's not just Christian nationalists. Now, some are adding the term white Christian nationalists. Pastors for Trump is drawing sharp rebuke from mainstream Christian leaders for being extremist, distorting Christian teachings, endangering American democracy by fueling the spread of Christian nationalism. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need more Christian nationalists. I believe we need more Christians that will take a stand for God and country. Listen very carefully. God created the home, God created government, and God created the church, and He did so in that order. Anything we stand for about the home, about the family, about the morals, ethics, and values, anything that we stand for about biblical principles, theological, doctrinal beliefs, or about the civil government, all of those are biblical, not political issues. If I stand and preach an entire message about the political agenda today and what's happening in the Beltway in Washington, that is a biblical message. It is not a political message. For all of those things are wrapped in what is called central biblicist truth. I believe we need to understand that. I believe we need to stop being fearful as Christians, but stand being visible, verbal, and valiant in our stand for morals and ethics. And listen, the left imposes their values. The left wants to impose their morals. The left is willing to have an immoral, ungodly, unholy agenda. And we're not supposed to say anything about it. And yet when we stand for biblical truth, we're degraded, demeaned, dissed by calling us Christian nationalists. Well, I'm proud to be a Christian nationalist. Don't about you, but I'm proud to be a Christian nationalist. I'm a Christian. I trust God. I believe God's word. But I stand for our flag. I stand for our nation. I stand for the freedoms that we have codified in our Bill of Rights. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
I'm a Christian nationalist.
Amen.
I don't care what they say or whatever, but I remember when Obama was in office, he was talking about they're going to have a radical change. I'm paraphrasing, but he's saying about America is going to be changed, and he's doing it right now. With this puppet Joe. And I remember they were trying to take away the Second Amendment for us to bear arms because they wanted these people that they're letting in this country run over us. Because I told my wife, I said, in about 10 years, maybe less, if you can't speak Spanish, you're not going to be able to get a job. You're not going to be able to do anything. And I know if Trump, and praise the Lord, hopefully Trump wins, because I'm going to tell you, if he loses, people eyes are going to get woken up to let them know it was stolen again. It's like I call a Smiley, our vice president, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
Smiley said, oh, yeah, we can win. So that let me know now y'all got stuff already in place. So he could win again.
Kamala Harris is the laugher of the land, if you will. But one of the things that I find disingenuous is the fact that our political leaders, those that are in office today, those that are petrified on the left, those that are socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic Party, they're petrified that Donald Trump will win. By the way, he's steamrolling right on over the one that is running against him, that's supposed to be the female candidate for the Republican Party, Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley, by the way, won D.C., Washington, D.C. She won that in her recent race. But what people must realize is D.C. is made up of about 99% Democrats. And so that means that the vote she got, Nikki Haley, a Republican, came out of the Democratic Party that voted for her. They want her to be the candidate because she is malleable, she is controllable, and had been bought and paid for by big dark money across the nation today. So I am prayerful that Christians will stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Kenneth, I'm praying that more people will identify as Christian conservatives, Christian nationalists, that you're going to stand for God and country. We're going to stand up for our nation. We're going to try to go back to the fundamental foundation that our nation was built on. That's the Word of God. The Word of God. So that's my prayer today. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. Looking forward to what God is going to do. Very quickly, go ahead.
Can I answer one more question? Okay. She's supported by big money now.
Yes.
Because they do not want Donald Trump back in there, because he's going to start cleaning out the swamp.
That's exactly right. We need to keep praying, Kenneth. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour for the news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.